Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 462. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is going on, sir?
Not a heck of a lot tonight. Just got done watching this SmackDown show with what I'm calling the happiest ending to a WWE TV show in quite some time.
when Daniel Bryan made the entrance last week and confronted the Bludgeon Brothers for no reason, basically, you just go, well, I mean, they're going there, right? Like, Kane is his only logical partner, right? But I was like, is Kane really going to do that? Like, I mean, I know that he has the nomination sewn up and that he is in a solidly Republican district, so the inevitability of him getting elected is pretty rock solid. So, but I mean, he still has time until November, and I guess I don't blame him for having, this can easily run until November if he wants it to, but whatever time frame it runs in, I mean, people love Team Hell No, and like many people, I feel like, just in the WWE in general, you need to find creative ways to keep people out of the main event. And this is certainly a creative way. It's not going to last forever. But, good God, because you mentioned it being one of the happiest endings. They are just printing gold when they make merch for these two.
Oh, yeah. That's not even a question. Yeah, I have not seen a crowd that happy to see Kane since the last time they teamed. It was really, really well done. The crowd went crazy for it. I mean, it's amazing to think that all that stuff they did with the two of them and getting together and the anger management therapy and hugging it out, all that shit that happened 6 years ago. It's amazing.
Yeah, I guess I was kind of wondering how long ago that's been, but I'm not surprised. I mean, because Brian's been out, just a year and a half or so, or was it closer to 2 full years?
It was 2 full years.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean...
It was 3 full years.
Oh, okay. Wow, I was making that shorter than I thought it was.
WrestleMania 31 and WrestleMania 30, and then
that's
again until WrestleMania 34.
He's been out a lot. If you just take that time period, that's kind of a long time, and that Team Hell No thing really kind of, was that the whole genesis, basically? No, that wasn't really the genesis of his baby face push, but I mean, that certainly not hurt him at all.
That was it.
Oh, that was it.
That was the beginning. I mean, because it was, remember, they were Team Hell No because they were trying to stop the Yes Chance by making an even more hateable heel. But then that didn't work, and when the team with Kane really set off, and he did start his run.
Yeah, so I mean, and I guess that's another thing that, I guess if I knew that it wasn't the first thing that got him there, it was one of the earlier things. I guess it's almost surprising that it wasn't longer ago in some ways, but Brian's real run at the top wasn't that long.
No, it really wasn't. Because they still weren't going all the way with it until they had to.
Oh, right.
And then he won at WrestleMania 30. And then he had to give the title up about 6 to 8 weeks later after that. Yeah, so no. And then he was out until 2015. And then was January 2015 or something along those lines. And then by April 2015, he was out for 3 years.
Yeah, so, but I mean, I guess I'm not surprised. Nostalgia always works in wrestling. And this team is definitely looked upon fondly. Whether everyone remembers that that's the genesis of, like, you know, Daniel Bryan as we know him now, or not, they definitely remember the... Those skits, for the most part, I mean, there were definitely some ones that were bad, but on the whole, they were always way better than I expected them to be.
They were on the high end of WWE comedy, yes. The anger management skit is the high watt. It's up there with Mick Foley visits Mr. McMahon in the hospital and introduces the world to Mr. Sacco as maybe the... either the number one or 1A or two, you know, best, you know, on-location skit, you know, shoots they've ever done.
Yeah, so that... it's... I guess it's not surprising that people look back on it fondly. And again, there are worse things to have Daniel Bryan do if he's not going to be in the title picture. Like, again, they're printing money. Everyone loved it. Like, I guess it's one of those things where it's such a good idea. Like, what else do you have to talk about?
Yeah. No. It's a great idea. This is Kane's, you know, retirement tour. You know, they could definitely get some mileage out of this. I don't know if this will be the entirety of it. Or when Kane was going to decide to, you know, put his wrestling career to bed for some time. But it's a good thing to do. Like you said, it keeps Daniel Bryan out of the title picture. It also keeps him away from The Miz a little bit longer. I don't know if, you know, are Bryan and Kane going to win the tag titles at Extreme Rules, or is that just going to be a bridge to, you know, get to the next thing, or so that they get the Miz Daniel Bryan match out there by SummerSlam. It could go anyways. If this is truly a Kane retirement tour, they should. They would very likely involve the Undertaker in some way, at least towards the end of it. There's a lot that where you can. There's a lot of places you can go.
Yeah, and I guess that'll be kind of the interesting part. Like you said, that there are kind of a few ways that they can go with this. And yeah, I guess I'm a proponent of holding off Daniel Bryan and The Miz for WrestleMania if they can. Like, I mean, that...
If you can, yeah, absolutely.
that kind of, to me, like, that feud, the way that it was sparked, really is, like, one of those things. Just, like, if that doesn't scream WrestleMania match to you, I don't know what does. So, yeah, I'd be good if that gets held off, and... Yeah, I mean, I guess Kane really deserves a nice farewell tour, too. It's still one of those things that kind of blows my mind that it was one of the few things. I remember the fake Diesel, or him coming out as the fake Diesel, because I really did skip his Isaac Yankum days. I fully cope. They're cop to missing that part of wrestling. That guy has been around a crazy amount of time. And the fact that Kane thing really was not supposed to be as this long running of a gimmick, just in and of itself, is kind of amazing too. Like, I mean, that Kane gimmick has to be going like a decade and a half strong at this point.
No, it's over 20. It's over 20 years.
Oh. Yeah.
It's 1997.
Oh my god. Okay, well, yeah, I mean, his longevity, I guess, that is something that we can talk about, is quite impressive.
And so much of that was without getting injured.
Oh.
Because I think he did a crazy, I'm not going to look it up, but I know he did a crazy amount of Royal Rumbles in a row, I believe. He did a crazy amount of WrestleManias in a row. He went 10, 15 years before his first, long sabbatical due to injury.
Oh, yeah, he was very durable. Much like you, I don't feel like looking up exactly how long he's been out for, what lengths of times, but I really don't recall him being out for, long stretches of time.
At least not until at least the 2010s. I don't really recall it at all. I recall him being a constant, during the 2000s, on, every show and just always being in the middle of something.
Yeah, and I guess that's the other thing. Like, he was always one of those. He was always a gatekeeper to the main event. For a lot of that time, and somehow he kept the role fresh for the most part too. He did so many things well, like it's kind of crazy.
yeah, it is. Yeah, he's always was the gatekeeper. They would move him into the title picture, frequently. I mean, the last time he challenged for the title was against Seth Rollins. That was, in 2015. Then he seemed to always get that what he was as the years went on, he ended up being like the B show challenger.
Oh.
every time a babyface, won a title, their first or second title defense was always going to be against Kane just to give them that big win.
Yeah, he's a big guy. You can always talk about him being a former champion, even if he was only champion for 24 hours.
He didn't get that second reign.
Yeah, he did have a second reign.
It was the World Heavyweight Championship when he beat Rey Mysterio, and then, that's where I think, maybe he got a little long in the tooth with him, so that you had to use him a little more sparingly. I remember he had about a 3-match series with The Undertaker, at their advanced ages. That was pretty bad during that period where, Undertaker was definitely winding down for sure.
Right. Yeah.
But no, he's got he had two title reigns, multiple tag title reigns. I think a couple of, Intercontinental or U.S. title reigns in there as well. One of hundreds of people who was the hardcore champion at some point.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't he the hardcore champion at some point?
Who wasn't?
Not too many people. You and I were not. Very, very few people, though, were not. David Arquette was not a hardcore champion. Yeah, his career is to be commended. I guess, this is another tie-in thing that I was wondering during the show. Is GLOW showing up, the cast of GLOW showing up to talk to Naomi and Lana, is that a move showing that SmackDown is shifting to be the A show since it's going to be on Fox? Or is that just a happy coincidence that they're just trying to co-brand these things?
I think it was a happy coincidence being that they were in... What? They weren't in LA. They were in Anaheim tonight, right?
You know, I can't remember, and I feel like the crowd reacted, so they can't be in Anaheim. But Anaheim would make a lot of sense since they were in San Diego last night.
Yeah. As I said, they were in San Diego last night. Probably was better for the cast to, who all I'm sure live in Los Angeles, to make it. It was maybe somewhere in, you know, that area, L.A., Anaheim, I don't know, Bakersfield, whatever. One of those SoCal cities.
SCU.
Good one.
So, yeah. So, but that does make sense that the location aided them in getting them on the show, and it does obviously fit Naomi's gimmick pretty well, considering that you're supposed to feel the glow.
Yeah.
So that, there's synergy
that
there.
That was creative. And Allison Brie of Glow, better Russian accent than Lana. Actually, I have no idea what's going on with Lana's accent at this point. I don't know what she's doing anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone cares at this point. And I'm not shocked that Allison Brie has a better Russian accent than Lana. You know, it really does kind of hurt that Lana is American. But of course, so is Allison. I mean,
she for the longest time, she, you know, she had a, seemingly a pretty strong accent, and until they started, she started doing Total Divas. She never broke. Now it feels like she breaks all the time.
Oh, I guess I did not watch Total Divas. I've never watched Total Divas with her on it. So she continued to do the Russian accent on there?
No. That's what I mean. Is that?
Oh, okay.
At that point, it was revealed to be staged.
Okay. Yeah, that one's kind of tough to come back from. I mean, I feel like she kind of rushes up her speech still a little bit, but she does seem far more American, let's say, even on SmackDown, in my opinion. But I guess that's part of it, is they've given her a different role. You know, she kind of just had these short little speeches, and it was all about the whole crush thing. When you get a little more complex with your wording, it just gets more difficult. And maybe that's something that she could not really handle. And I'm not sure that it matters. Kind of like, I'm glad that Rusev is, they just talk about Bulgaria now. There's no Russia silliness. It's just, it's Bulgaria. And you know, speaking of Rusev, I do, that's another thing I enjoyed about SmackDown. A, it does, to me, look like New Day will continue to not to be a team, but not a team in the ring.
Yeah, it definitely looks like they're going in that direction that's been rumored for a while, that, you know, the feeling is that they've done everything they can in the tag team division, but they don't want to split them up or turn anyone heel. So they'll stay as a trio who is going to do more and more singles matches while still doing the occasional occasional trios match. It's not a bad idea, especially after the performance of Big E last week. I think Big E is certainly ready for a bigger role on his own.
And Xavier Woods has done nothing to hurt his stock.
No, he has not. He does well. He does really well in everything that they've ever had him do as a singles wrestler. Those opportunities did not seem to come for him until recently. But he's definitely shown out in every singles match he's done. I don't know exactly. high his ceiling is as a singles. The only thing in comparison to Big E. But no, I'm sure he'll do all right. Kofi's just been around so long. I mean, the New Day really kind of saved him, you know, from obscurity and mediocrity.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see if they just in the days when Kofi just kept winning the Intercontinental U.S. titles over and over and over again, back when they didn't mean anything. I think a lot of work and care has gone into, you know, improving the standing of both championships over the last few years. But when Kofi and Cesaro were trading one of the belts, maybe both of them at some point, they were right. Just matches on the card, you know.
Oh yeah, it's kind of funny. That's a point that I maybe didn't think about. They really have done a good job. I would say for what, 4 or 5 years of keeping the IC and US titles relevant. And
yeah, I'd move it more towards the last like 3 years, because I think Cena's U.S. title reign was the big catalyst for that one, and then the IC kind of came along with it over time.
Okay, so it's kind of been a while since those belts have been irrelevant, but it certainly makes people like Kofi Kingston seem more valuable now.
they're a former champion. Yeah.
Especially when it's a multiple time former champion.
Yeah. You actually could put Kofi in that in contention for the U.S. title, you know, at some point, or Big E, or any of them really could. But I think Big E might be the only one who at some point could have world champion potential.
Yeah. I mean, not that there aren't some smaller guys in the main event mix, and Daniel Bryan obviously is proof of that. But, you know, they still, I think, try to tend towards bigger guys. And Big E, you know, I guess maybe he got the most out of some of their later feuds, like those with the Usos, that made New Day be more serious. Because Big E definitely comes across as kind of a jovial guy. And a lot of those segments made him get very serious. Because it was kind of funny that Xavier Woods always kind of delivered some of the more serious lines for the group.
Yeah. Something to that, but I think Big E did show a number of times the ability to get serious, to get, you know, I don't really know, he's jovial, but if he gets angry, look out. There have been some moments of that with Big E. He definitely needs to, you know, be more serious going forward. I think that maybe it's, if the idea is one, two, or all three of them to have serious singles runs, maybe it's time to knock off the pancake stuff.
Oh. Yeah, the pancake segment was not worth the time.
No, it wasn't. I've been up and down on the whole... I've been mostly down on the whole pancake thing. For most of its run here, it's definitely gone past its shelf life. And once again, this is that if they want to, you know, have a serious run for any of them, I think maybe it'll be time. It's time to tone down some of the goofiness. Not all of it, because they should still stay together. I don't see. Well, I mean, last week against Daniel Bryan, Big E did essentially work heel.
Oh, well.
Yeah, he did great. He did really great at it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not surprised that they can do that. The act was originally a heel act until it got so popular. So there is always that part too. Well, actually, until it bombed, and then then they changed it, and then it got popular, even though they were still heels. But anyway, that minor detour aside, it could really, I guess that heel dynamic thing is something that really seems to change a lot in the WWE in this day and age, more so than in others. And there isn't like a watershed, they're turning heel moment that frequently. It's more like whatever suits the situation and whatever the crowd is reacting to, they kind of work into it.
Are we moving on to Sasha and Bayley now?
Sure.
There. That just fits right in. Yeah. I guess Bayley might have turned heel. Possibly, although the crowd didn't seem to see it that way. Because Sasha's not the most sympathetic character, and the way that they've had this thrown on and on and on, you know, I feel like whoever was the first person to do both the violent act in the ring and really hurt the other one was going to be cheered, because at least this game is finally going to be moved forward.
Yeah, it was certainly something that, much like Kane coming back, they kept on hinting at, but it never really, it's never really taken off. And even last week, I'm like, oh my God, are they actually finally going to do this? Like, last week is kind of like, oh, they've got to pull the trigger this time. And they certainly pulled the trigger. And like you said, the crowd reaction was clearly behind Bayley, despite the fact that she was the aggressor in this situation.
What an aggressor she was. She was in the moment and let out a bit of a swear.
Yeah, I guess I missed that upon first viewing.
Yeah, well, during the USA Network hearing, the microphone did cut out on, you know, 7 second delay or whatever. So something was said, whether it was by one of them or whether it was by fan or something. Something got said that needed to be believed. But on the international airing of Raw, apparently, is where the uncensored "you ain't shit" from Bayley, got picked up, and it was all over the internet today.
Oh yeah.
You know, there is, I now granted, everything you said is, you know, it is kind of, as far as, you know, what's going to happen going forward here is dependent on what happens during next week's counseling segment. You know they're bringing back Dr. Sheldon, right? I highly doubt that man is that busy.
Well, I mean, he's probably busy doing his day job or whatever that may be. But other than that, I'm sure he's not terribly busy. I would imagine that they would bring him back, especially with Team Hell No on SmackDown. It would seem a no-brainer to bring him back around. But
I don't see that. I don't want this being played for comedy.
Oh yeah.
And I don't feel like they have the chops to have to even pull off comedy in that way. So I hope that it's something. And the tone of it is certainly more serious than Daniel Bryan and Kane some time ago. As we see how this is all transitioning perfectly. Hopefully the tone is more serious. And, you know,
well,
they messed up with Bayley as a babyface from the start here. There's a lot you can do with her as a heel, like her dressing in her dressing in all black, doing something with the inflatable tube men in all black or scary, or having her entrance theme change to a death metal song from the same lyrics. There's so much you can do with it. with a bad girl Bailey.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Like,
it should have been different for Bailey, but I think this is for the best now.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, the WWE, for whatever reason, has not really... Like, the Bailey character in NXT, to me, still even has something of a limited shelf life on, whichever brand she ended up going to. And in this case, it was mostly Raw, I believe. If only Raw.
Yeah, it's only Raw.
So, you know, the Sasha, there was always something of her, you know, going heel that, I don't know why the WWE hasn't really gone with, for some reason. She got really popular before her call-up, and people were chanting for her name, and the WWE seems reluctant on making her a full-fledged heel for some reason. And to me, I guess having Bailey be the aggressor and be the one that has to go to counseling.
They're both going to go to counseling.
Oh,
there was an after the show segment on YouTube where Kurt Angle told Sasha she's going to.
Good God. And that's just something that, we could talk about in a general sense too after this, the amount of content, which I know we've covered before, but just you saying that just made it pop to the forefront of my head, because yeah, the WWE is pushing a lot of stuff this week in particular.
Yeah.
But
such as Major Angle taking place on Paul Heyman's Facebook page.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to get off those two, we could move to that one, too.
Yeah. Yeah, on a Saturday night,
because
Paul Heyman just types up this long diatribe and puts it on Facebook. Totally in character, kayfabe, I would want to say it. On a Saturday night, apparently I'm the only one who was paying attention to it.
Yeah, I will admit I was, I am not out, looking for wrestling news. I do a very good job, of the most part, staying off of social media over the weekend, unless it's to post a picture or two on the old Instagram. Yeah, it was, I guess it's kind of interesting that they're doing things to keep themselves in the news as much as possible. And I guess having Paul Heyman do this on a Saturday evening is one way to keep everyone in the loop, since they don't have a pay-per-view this weekend.
Yeah, and apparently the next pay-per-view doesn't have a main event.
I guess
that whole thing was weird.
It does kind of lead directly into a discussion about the main event on Raw. You know, it doesn't help. No one's in a good spot to challenge him, just because there hasn't been like a clear number two, and for whatever reason, usually the guy holding the briefcase still tries to take a crack at winning the championship.
Because, but they are making it very clear that they don't want that in your head. Braun's continuing to mess with Kevin Owens every week. It's between Roman Reigns and Lashley, and I think Lashley's just a 1 month distraction before they get where they want to get. Where they want to get.
Yeah, so I guess it's one of those things to me that the post was right in a lot of ways. Like, they really need to establish whomever they go with, whether it's Lashley or Reigns, and whether it's a month or two. They need to establish them as a badass, and I really don't think that having a hard time with the Revival is the way to make either of them look good.
Yeah, I know the general idea is the thrown together tag team should not be the well-oiled machine tag team, but the Revival isn't even going to be challenging for the titles, the tag team titles next. So they get this win and they're just going to be in limbo for however long, possibly forever. Yeah, it was kind of a it was a waste of Roman Reigns taking a pinfall loss.
Yeah.
It hurts him. And you know what?
And you were already implying that, you know, that's where they want to end up again. And even
I mean,
that.
it's like when, on the way to, WrestleMania, Roman Reigns took two clean losses to The Miz. That didn't help anybody anything heading into WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean. Sometimes they just shoot themselves in their own foot. Like,
There's
they.
definitely a lot going on here. They're really trying to push this narrative that of Brock Lesnar, Nate doesn't care. He may not
Oh.
ever come back to defend the title, so that when he does, that everyone's gonna boo him. But the problem is, just like at WrestleMania, they might boo Brock Lesnar, but that doesn't mean they're gonna cheer Roman Reigns, and they're gonna hijack the damn match again.
Yeah, I guess that's the other reason or thing in the equation. It's just like you guys keep on trying to make him be like the evil heel guy, and nobody, I shouldn't say nobody buys it, but just like a vast majority of people that are watching and in live attendance are not buying it. And it's just like, why are you going there again? Like, that hasn't been working as long as Roman Reigns not winning the title has not been working.
Right, no, I mean, it works when they've got the right babyface against him. I mean, you could do a match between Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar and have the majority of the fans cheering Braun. Once again, I still have no idea why that's not where they're going for SummerSlam. I'm not even, I still don't even know why that's not what they did at WrestleMania. It seems obvious.
Yeah, well, that makes another thing very curious about Braun Strowman winning the briefcase just period end of
Strowman's got the
sentence.
briefcase. He doesn't really need it. He should, but now you're gonna have to explain away why Braun Strowman isn't jumping Brock Lesnar the first time he walks back through the door if
Ooh.
he's not going for it immediately.
Well, and that I guess that is the other thing is that
Why
with
would Braun wait?
with
That was
how
not Carmella.
infrequently Brock Lesnar shows up, Braun Strowman really does not have many times to use that briefcase. So yeah, I mean he would be well within his rights to use that immediately upon a Brock Lesnar arrival. So yeah, there is a lot going on around that main event picture, and I guess it is still interesting that Finn Balor is hanging out in that neck of the woods. He's another guy, though, that they would seem to have other plans for a full-on feud for.
Yeah, it looks like he's heading towards a feud with Baron Corbin heading into Extreme Rules. I guess. As long as the multiple person match stays off. But who knows? For all we know, by next week it'll be back on again. And, it's like old things kind of a mess. But no, I mean, I guess if there's nothing else for them to do, a Corbin Balor feud it is fine. We've seen that Finn Balor can work with bigger guys, and
no.
hopefully it'll maybe bring something out of Baron Corbin we haven't seen yet. So I guess I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's another feud that as long as Balor goes over at some point, it should be good enough. Corbin has shown flashes in the ring. And if Balor can bring that out again, which in some ways I'd be surprised if he can, you know, it should make for a decent enough feud. So yeah, it's solid. It's nothing crazy awesome, but it's somewhere to go. But it does kind of keep them occupied. And I guess that's the one thing that does kind of work out with Heyman's diatribe, is that it works as a multi-man match, and if you establish feuds for these guys between themselves, which they have done, since Bob and Roman Reigns have their problems too, you know, it's easy to kind of break them out into singles feuds.
And Roman also inserted himself to Seth Rollins' feud with Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre as well. So there's a lot of interchange. There's certainly a lot of interconnected feuds going on, which typically is the sign of a big multiple person match, you know, to come.
yes, it is. And I guess that's one of those things that I suppose I thought Dean Ambrose would be back by now.
Yeah, I was wondering if he was going to be the one to make the save for Seth Rollins. Obviously, the other one would have been Roman Reigns. But no, I think Dean might be back in the picture closer to SummerSlam.
Okay. Yeah, because Reigns doing double duty kind of makes you wonder what role he might take on. But I mean, he can always do double duty too.
Sure. Right.
Why not? I'm trying to think of where to there's got to be something to be said. Dolph Ziggler, I guess that's another thing that was kind of interesting about Raw. It was kind of funny that they were putting together all of these unconnected teams. You know, you mentioned Owens and Braun Strowman, and they kept on putting them together. I guess it's kind of funny that, to me, Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre were kind of one of those oddball teams, but instead of keeping them together, they're breaking them apart, kind of, and really what looks like could be the Shawn Michaels Diesel kind of combo. Obviously, those names are pretty loaded for a number of reasons. But I would say that the match on Monday, like, if you wanted it to just be a short thing to wake up Seth Rollins to the perils of challenging someone every week, you just have him win the title back on Monday, don't you think? Or do you...
Yeah, I think that they're going to transition Seth out of the Intercontinental title situation possibly putting him in the Universal title situation or something, a Shield reunion when Ambrose is back, something different. I mean, this whole thing with Ziggler and McIntyre is, it's a vehicle for McIntyre in the end. So, eventually you do the McIntyre-Ziggler split and have McIntyre beat Ziggler for the title. Although, I don't know exactly how, I just prefer Drew, or maybe you keep them together, I don't know, because I just prefer Drew as a heel. He's never been comfortable as a babyface. You know, the scowling babyface who couldn't even manage to smile when he won the NXT championship. It never rang true with me. His title reign was very hollow in NXT, and I'm glad he lost it pretty much in his first title defense. Yes, but as a heel here, he's definitely better. I would certainly say the matchup with Rollins last night was certainly Ziggler's best outing in a pretty long time.
Yeah, I mean, Ziggler had kind of even lost that part of his shine. And that was a really good match. It's the first, like you said, in a long while for Ziggler that you're just like, oh yeah, this guy really is good in the ring.
Yeah. If they can rebuild Ziggler a little bit here, that'd be great. But I'm, you know, you're fairly certain, you know, the ultimate goal is you know, rising Drew McIntyre's profile here, as opposed to Ziggler. But I like them together. I think it's, you know, maybe they're not quite Sean and Diesel, but they got their own good vibe going. It works for them. It works for now to reintroduce Drew back. I'm liking it. I think it's, I mean, I guess you probably could have just gone to Drew McIntyre as the one who meets Seth for the title instead of Dolph. You know, maybe that would have worked, or possibly would have worked better. But you know, they decided to, you know, rebuild Dolph while at the same time building up Drew McIntyre. I'm sure there's gonna be a break up and a feud there, but I do hope that Drew is the one who stays.
Yeah, I think the WWE can probably manage that in the end, because I do think that there's still a faction of fans that want to cheer Ziggler. So it wouldn't surprise me if McIntyre stays on the heel side of things. I'm trying to think of what we haven't covered on Raw, because I can think of one other thing on SmackDown that we didn't get to. And I'm trying not to look at my column, but it's going to have to happen, unless you can think of something off the top of your head.
Raw. Well, let's move on. We talk about the one women's feud. Well, let's talk about the other one and what I feel is the terrible decision to have Alexa Bliss lose a match by tap out to Natalya a week after she pulled off the crime of the century and her big feud after Nia Jax would be with Ronda Rousey, whose whole gimmick is tapping people out. So if the sidekick, if Rousey's sidekick has already made Alexa Bliss tap out, then what's left for Rousey to do? I hated that. I didn't get it.
Yeah, I guess they're gonna give Bliss a challenger for this pay per view. So you needed some type of affirming victory, but you're right. I don't know why Natalya didn't beat Mickie James. Even though I'm sure that match has been done a lot.
Oh, I'm sure it's been done a lot for the last 10 years, but...
But, it would have made a lot more sense to kind of give Natalya something to build her way up to a title shot during Rousey's suspension.
Yeah, there's ways they can do it. I just don't feel like... I know Alexa Bliss, is a undeserving champion, a cheating, backstabbing, conniving heel, but she's got Nia Jax at Extreme Rules, and then probably Rousey at SummerSlam if the match doesn't get turned into a triple threat because they keep Nia in the mix. She should not be losing matches to the mid part of the women's division. I know she's not a world beater or anything, but you gotta save something. We're a big challenge. And yeah, they could do a title match in the next couple of weeks on Raw, and have Alexa Bliss win, decisively. But still doesn't mean they should have done the non-title loss like that.
Yeah, I guess in some ways what you just said does make me think of what I was going to talk about on the SmackDown side of things. I really like the way that they're using Becky Lynch over there, in that she's taken on, both Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, and now they're having her build up her wins on, I would assume, after beating Sonya Deville, that Mandy Rose will be up next. There are certainly plenty of women in the ranks to have stuff of this nature continue to happen so that you can have a second. And I mean, I guess finally Bayley and Sasha will be a second storyline for Raw. But it's a good way to keep Becky Lynch in the title picture without having her go for the title quite yet.
Yeah, in the shakeup period, SmackDown definitely got a stronger undercard for their women's division, so that you have essentially people that can be gatekeepers / jobber the stars type roles who can just take losses. In fact, you basically have four of them. Yeah, because you pretty much have the Iconics and Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville essentially playing the same role at the same time.
Right. Yeah, they just have different gimmicks. The role is the same, but the gimmicks differ.
they seem to be, building Becky back up. She got a number of wins before Money in the Bank as well. It seems like they've realized that Becky had been on the back burner for well over a year, and it's time to do something with her. I'll be interested to see where that all shakes out in the coming months, because obviously they're doing the Asuka Carmella rematch at Extreme Rules. The belief from since after WrestleMania has been, the SummerSlam would be Asuka and Charlotte again for the title, but Carmella's still the champion. Becky Lynch has been on a winning streak, and Charlotte is dealing with medical issues. Not serious, but we'll see how long she's out. Maybe that Charlotte Asuka match at SummerSlam is not a foregone conclusion we thought it was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could see Becky Lynch taking over in that role of challenging Asuka, should Asuka end up taking the title from Carmella here in the recent future.
They could absolutely go there. Maybe they should go there, because it's a match we haven't seen yet. And once again, you can save Charlotte for down the line. I can see, certainly see them doing that. Interested to see how long they're going to keep James Ellsworth around. Because next week they're already doing the Asuka versus Ellsworth match, where you should be expected that Ellsworth is going to get absolutely destroyed unless Carmella gets involved. I guess the other way to keep Ellsworth from taking the total ass whipping that he deserves there.
Right.
But again, I think that maybe you could stretch Carmella's title right now. No, you can't. No, I'm just saying, no. Asuka cannot take that second loss to Carmella. No.
Yeah.
I about that one. I argue in strong argument that she shouldn't have done the first one. She can't do a second one.
Yeah, I would hope they would not go with two. Even if James Ellsworth is still involved. I would hope that things would shake out better for her. because yeah, it's just kind of, you know, Alexa Bliss has had her moments in the ring to give her undeserving chance some legs, but they haven't done they haven't done Carmella any favors in building
Carmella
her up in ring.
Carmella has a great personality, but in the ring, I think she's been in the ring literally with arguably the two best women in the company back months, and the matches were not good, especially with when she was on offense for an extended period. So as much as I like Carmella and I think she'll stay in the mix, it's time to end her head already.
Yeah, so I guess it'll be interesting to see, like you said, with Charlotte at least having a minor injury, it'll be interesting to see where she, where things fall timeline-wise and what happens to everyone.
And speaking of minor injuries, well, hopefully, Shinsuke Nakamura bit by a police dog and taken out of his match on SmackDown against Jeff Hardy. Wow, a number of WWE superstars have just been having the worst luck lately. Like with Sami Zayn, tearing two
rotator cuffs.
What's the muscle called?
Rotator cuff.
Rotator cuff. Yes, thank you. Got my anatomy lessons there. and then Nakamura being bit by a police dog while at the building he was wrestling in last night. That's pretty damn wild.
Yeah, I guess I did not read what the injury was. So this is the first time I'm hearing about it. That is kind of crazy. Those dogs are usually trained better than that. So that part's pretty wild too. Unless Shinsuke was causing some problems backstage and hitting people in the nuts.
Maybe he tried to hit the dog in the nuts. Who knows?
Hey, yeah, that would not be very nice if he hit the dog in the nuts.
No. Maybe there's more to that story. Who knows? Then that leading to Jeff Hardy having an open challenge that was answered by Sandy part of Eric Young. Match ending in a big schmoz involving Sanity and Jeff Hardy and the Usos, which turned into a 6-man tag match, which turned into a loss for Sanity in their second week.
You know, I did not think of it in that context for some reason.
Go ahead.
I'm not quite sure why. I mean, they were MIA for quite some time after Well, it's been kind of weird, honestly, that both, like, all of the NXT call-ups right after WrestleMania have been stuck in this weird pattern. Andrade Cien Almas is in the same area in that they called him up. He's had a match or two, but for the most part, he's been a non-factor. And Sanity, oh, we're calling them up. They'll be here next week. Oh, no, maybe they'll be here next week. Oh, what, you know what? Sorry, it slipped our mind. They'll be here next week. Authors of Pain were one that when I was scrolling through my article, I'm like, oh, hey, they're still alive too. That's five people from NXT that got called up that have not been given much of a role recently on their
No.
respective programs.
No, they have not. But in the case of Sanity, they were probably only ever really going to push Killian Dane in the end. So maybe we're just getting Young and especially Wolf. Wolf, there's nothing to the guy. Let's be brutally honest there.
He dresses funny.
Yeah, he does. He looks funny. He's got one of those weird blank dead stares or whatever you want to say, but yeah, there's just never been really much to Wolf. If you feel like Killian Dane needs a mouthpiece,
Are you sure he doesn't need a mouthpiece? Are you offering to do this for him?
anytime, Killian, anytime. But no, if he needs a mouthpiece, I guess you can keep Eric Young around. But yeah, Sam, you just know WWE is only interested in Killian Dane, so I guess just getting the other two guys out of there quickly might be for the best, especially since we already got a monster team dominating the SmackDown Tag Team division, a monster heel team. So it's like, what's Sanity even gonna do while the Bludgeon Brothers run is still ongoing as a team?
Well, yeah, I guess that's a good reason to think about not calling them up to one particular brand over the other. But of
Yeah.
course, you can't really call up AOP and Sanity to the same brand either, though. So it's kind of a power heel team, no matter which way you look at them.
They coexisted on the NXT, which is a smaller brand. They face each other a number of times.
Oh, well, yeah. I suppose you could have done that, kept them all on one brand, or flipped brands. I don't know if that would have helped. And I don't know why, at least in the case of Sanity, the leader's always got to be kind of looked at as the singles guy, but like you said, like since they're trying to get to Killian Dane anyway. Start him off as the singles guy and have Eric Young and Alexander Wolf just be the tag team guys from the jump.
Right, I agree with that. I don't know if Sanity was ever a gimmick that was going to be used to its fullest potential, whatever that is, on the main roster. I don't even know if it really was, in NXT. I mean, it never really became a main event gimmick.
Oh, right.
Except, well, other than that war games.
Yeah, and there's always kind of some limited things that you can do with teams. It works for a while, but then it's kind of hard coming up with six-man teams that keep on challenging people. It's just not a regular part of the WWE either. Because I
Well,
know.
I mean, we've had Shield, we've had the New Day. I don't know if it's that hard.
Yeah, but they only had so many six-person feuds, in my opinion. Like, even New Day, a vast majority of their feuds, they had three people, but the other team usually only had two.
Right. No. You're right. So yeah, it's a in a three-man group, it's it's typically one is the singles guy, and then two are the tag team, and three of them come together on occasion for six-man tags. You do a lot of six-man tags on TV, not so much on the pay-per-view.
Agreed.
So yeah, no. I mean, as we keep saying, Killian Dane's gonna be the star of the team. I guess they could have played some sort of lip service to keeping Sanity a strong three-man trio. As heels, tearing through the roster, but that's certainly not where they're not what they're doing now. So it's just getting Killian Dane up and running as a single.
Yeah, I guess it's something that I kind of touched upon early on the show there that said I said we'd get back to the amount of content that the WWE is pushing out. And this is something that I did not have the time to do any viewing of, well, or not much viewing of before recording this show, was the UK tournament. I saw a lot of results since I go ahead and let the app alert me in this manner. But from most indications, it's another good event and another reason why I probably won't watch 205 Live this week.
This was definitely I have watched both shows because I do not have the active lifestyle that you do, Kevin. They were really good shows, a good primer for what this UK bit, this UK brand is going to be. Pete Dunne is certainly a star. He's definitely a good person to have, carrying the UK. The UK brand, as they try to make this a reality, if they get national television lined up over there, or if it's just something on the network, I think Pete Dunne is definitely the person the guy you want as the champion, even though he's already been champion for well over a year, and apparently is just going to keep being champion for the time being.
For in perpetuity. Yeah, they certainly are not shy about the longer title reigns these days.
Which, actually, transition out of that into something else. Did you catch the line about how AJ, during the Rusev Xavier Woods match, about AJ Styles now being the second longest reigning WWE champion or the longest reigning champion in 5 years.
Oh.
He's held the title for about close to 8 months now. CM Punk held the WWE championship, because I'm only talking about the WWE championship here. CM Punk held it for about 14 months. Give or take. Could we see a longer title reign for AJ Styles? So that they can push Punk someone that they have strong contempt for off of the record books, per se.
In no way would that surprise me. Vince McMahon holds a grudge like nobody can. Even to the fact that Sting lost against Triple H in that original WrestleMania match. All kinds of grudges that have, some of which have finally been buried by Vince, some of which are still probably out there. And I'm going to throw it out there especially since they just lost in court. I could see AJ Styles outlasting that reign. They did not have Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, win the title. And it seems like it's going to work out just fine, especially since his heel persona it is a vast improvement over how they're presenting him before. But I'm not sure who you have him drop the title to right now if it's not Nakamura.
No, that's true. I mean, he's definitely got the revolving door of contenders that he can face. I don't believe it'll be Rusev. Then they can move to Samoa Joe. They can move to Randy Orton. I'm assuming is going to be back shortly. The Miz, Daniel Bryan. He doesn't necessarily have to stick with facing heels. Yeah, there's a lot you can do with AJ Styles between now and, I believe, Royal Rumble would be maybe the time we're after where the Punk reign length is broken. So yeah, they can certainly keep a title on AJ Styles and keep pumping out challengers for him. Especially if they decided to have one guy get four title shots in a row. Again.
Oh, man. Yes, this is all very true. I guess, is there anything else? I can't believe that's kind of funny that we ended up on that topic off of the UK special. But it did coincide with Pete Dunne's longer run is champion.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a lot we could. I just didn't feel like there was a lot we could do with a show you didn't watch. Shows you didn't watch, and shows I have nothing more to say. It was good.
Gotcha. Okie dokie. Well, I think that can wrap things up. I had double duty. I blew the keg tonight. So part of the evening was spent drinking Eudora's La Chevelle Belgian Golden Strong Ale. Second part of the night, Land Grant's Greenskeeper Session IPA. So with that, I'm at DeFrango11. He's at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us. And have a good night.
Later.